sing it this morning. Church this morning. This is 22 in your hymn book. If you don't know it, let's sing about his victory.
Well, I heard an old and
Bless you. Good to be in service again together, just to worship the Lord and looking forward to what the Lord has for us today. Brother Jack Duff from West Palm Beach is visiting with us, a precious friend of ours, and he'll be speaking for us this morning and this evening. Good to have his brother, Brother Troy, with us as well, and Brother Steve from his church. Nice to have you with us as well. I've got a couple announcements I want to make. First of all, I just want to thank everyone that helped with the pitch-in, with organizing it, setting it up, breaking it down, serving the food, everything that you did there, and those that brought food, and I sure enjoyed it. Enjoyed the fellowship, enjoyed the food. Besides worshiping the Lord, fellowship and food are about two of my favorite things. So it was a good time. We certainly enjoyed it and appreciated that. And there are some, I think there's some dishes that were left from the pitch-in, and then also for some of those of you that have been bringing meals to Brother Buckles for the meal train, I think there are some dishes that we found that were left over, and those are down. If you go down in the fellowship area, and there's the little opening going into the kitchen window there, some of those are sitting down there. If you've lost some dishes and things like that, you're welcome after service to go get those. We've got several prayer requests we want to bring to the Lord in prayer. Sister Estera is still not feeling well. She's having pain in her left side and back, and she's going for some tests and CT scans in that regard, so I want to remember her in prayer. Also, Brother Joshua not feeling well this morning. Sister Layton wasn't feeling well this morning either, so we don't have an organ player, but that's all right. And we have confidence in Sister Stephanie and the rest of the musicians, so it'll be fine. And my brother Anthony, he's also he's in the hospital, just having some tests run. Wasn't feeling well yesterday, and so far everything has been fine. They just want to run a couple more tests on him this morning, so he may be here. He's trying to get him to release him in time for him to be here before service is over. But if not, Lord willing, he'll be here tonight. But just remember him in prayer that everything goes well there. And how many has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Troy, would you just come and lead us in a word of prayer over these prayer requests this morning?
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord God, with our hearts bowed, oh Father God. Lord, just seeking your face, oh Father God, Lord, just to, Lord, bless us with your presence once again, oh Father God. Speak to our hearts, oh Father God. Lord, we just come with an open mind and open heart, Lord, just waiting to be fed, oh Father. Lord God, these requests, oh Lord God, we just ask you to look on those, oh Father, that are not feeling well, Lord God. And the sister on the organ, how she just blessed my soul on the other night, oh Father God. And Lord, just touch her in a special way, oh Lord God. We know the enemy, Lord, just tries to come against those, oh Father God, who's working for you, oh Father God, and doing things for you, Lord God. Look on the brother's brother, oh Father God. I just heard last night, Lord, just gripped my spirit, Lord, how he was out playing basketball on yesterday and having a wonderful time, and then to find out he's having trouble, oh Father God, just look on him this morning, Lord. Bless him, oh God, in a mighty special way, Lord, and his desires to be here, oh Lord God. Lord God, just touch him, oh God, touch his body. Lord, and the others that are under the weather this morning, oh Father God, are not doing well, Lord God, you know them. Each one of them name by name, heart by heart, Lord God. Lord, we just pray, Lord God, that you look on them, oh Lord God. Look on the needs of this church, oh Father God. Bless these people, oh Father God. Bless us all, Lord God, as we just seek your face, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to just take control of this service, Lord. We're your children, oh Father God. We love you, Lord God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, saints. Good morning. Going to be reading the 65th, that's 6-5. While you're turning to it, sorry we missed the pitch-in yesterday, but we had my mother-in-law's 89th birthday celebration and 36 people. Not at my house, thankfully, but we went out and it all went real well. But mother wasn't feeling good by the time it was over and couldn't hardly walk and so forth. But, you know, at 89 years old, and I don't know where Brother Buckle's at. He's getting there and he's still getting around, and he's at least 25. But, you know, the Lord knows when. And we were talking about Mother yesterday, and I told some of them, I said, you know, she's going to outlive, already today, I should say, she's already outlived a lot of young ones that thought they had the world by the tail. It's an old saying, and that tells my age, but thought they had the world by the tail, and they're going to live forever or for a long, long time, and next thing you know, they're driving down the road, or somebody runs over them, or somebody shoots them, or whatever it may be. But some of us have been blessed. God's let us stay a long time, and how grateful we are for those elders that are older than I, at least, that have been here and have seen and have heard and can be a witness of what they've seen with Brother Branham and in the meetings and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. So we're a blessed people to have eyewitnesses still around today. Amen. And we're so thankful. And if I'm out of order, Brother Nathan, you can call me in the office afterwards. But somebody walked in this morning and looked around the church and said, my, said it sure looks nice and neat. And I think they said clean. And I said, yes. I said, doesn't Brother Joel and Sister, what's your name now? No, Christy. I tease her. She's like a daughter to me. I don't have time to tell you the story the first time we met, but I got in trouble. Put my foot in my mouth. But nonetheless, I think they do a fantastic job. Amen. And not just to single them out, you know, we've got some fantastic musicians, and I really appreciate them, the other deacons, the trustees. We've got a wonderful pastor. Amen. People can say what they want, and I can embarrass him, but I think he's just one of the finest young men for a pastor that, or even as a minister, but as a pastor that I've ever met, and I've met a lot of people around the message in my 52 years of being in the message. So I don't know how much you folks really realize it, but we are blessed. Amen. So I trust that you will keep him in prayer. All right, enough said. 65th Psalms said, praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. Iniquity shall prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away.
Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple.
By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea.
Which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power.
Which stilleth the noise of the sea, the noise of their ways, and the tumult of the people.
They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid of thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evenings to rejoice.
Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it.
Thou waterest the ridges thereof and honey. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof.
Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness.
They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side.
The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. God bless you. Please be seated.
Amen. We appreciate Brother Layton and the Layton family too, don't we? And I was just thinking as he was saying those things, you know, I agree 100% with him about the musicians and the deacons and the trustees and those that clean the church and the different ones. But I was looking at some of the people here this morning. Some of you drive all the way from Owensboro. Some of you drive from Shepherdsville and Cincinnati and different places to be here and way out places in Louisville and things. I appreciate the dedication. And when Brother Jack and I went to pray for my brother last night at the hospital, we was there late, and Sister Mary Beth kind of snuck us in. We didn't even have to go through security and explain to them why we were there so late and everything. And she said she was working last night and was going to get about an hour and a half of sleep and then get up and come to church. I thought, that's dedication. I appreciate that. And not to single her out, but there's many that drive distances and don't get much rest to be here and things, working third shift. I know a lot of times Brother Luke, he'll work third shift and go get a few hours sleep and get up and come here to stand at his post as a deacon. And yet there's some people, you know, they wouldn't walk across the street to be with us, and that's okay. They're not supposed to be here. But I appreciate those of you that feel to be a part and to be dedicated like that. It means a lot. And I think now we've got a special from Sister Rebecca's class, so let's just enjoy that as they come. Thank you. Amen. You appreciate that this morning? Amen. I think we've got a special by Sister Stephanie's class. Appreciate that this morning. Let's sing this together. Number 160 in your hymn book.
Oh, time is filled with swift transition. Not a birth that move can stand. Just build your hopes on things eternal.
God's unchanging hand, church, you can hold.
Bless you. We're going to invite Brother Jack if he would come at this time and just bring the word to us this morning. Brother Jack's a precious friend, one of my closest friends, and we were talking, we got some of the minister brothers together Friday evening, and we were just talking about how iron sharpens iron, and I think that's been our experience, that when one of us is down, the other one picks the other one up and encourages, and we've gone through different phases and things of our friendship and our ministry and things, but he's always been a real friend, and I sure am happy to have him with us this morning. Let's just sing this morning to the Lord, and there's none like my Jesus.
Amen.
There's no one like him. And I just want to say again, I'm very proud of these children in the Sunday school classes. And what a wonderful job they're doing, and all of our Sunday school teachers as well, and just appreciate them. Let's sing this together.
Oh, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Lord, I can search through all eternity long and find there is none like you. Lord, there is none like you. Lord, there's no one else. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Oh, I can search through all eternity long and find there is none like you. Lord, there is
let's sing it one more time.
Oh, we say there is none like you. Well, no one else can touch my heart. I can search eternity long and find there is none like you. Said I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Well, let's just worship him with a hand clap of praise.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. And we are honored to be here this weekend with you all and dedicating this wonderful building, but also dedicating our hearts, rededicating our hearts and our lives to service for the Lord. It has been a very, very wonderful trip thus far, and we just enjoy the fellowship. And again, I bring greetings on behalf of my wife, my mom, my mother-in-law, my daughters, the church back home, and I'm grateful to have my brother here with me on this particular trip, as well as Brother Stephen. And Brother Stephen was living here in Indianapolis while he was attending school at Indiana University. He's a pretty big guy, played linebacker there at Indiana University, and grateful the Lord has placed him there in our ministry. He's been with us for about 6 months, and God just has a way of connecting us. And when he heard that we were going to be up this way, he said he wanted to come, and we're so happy to have them join us, amen, on this particular trip. So I had a song that I wanted to sing, and I believe this was a request from almost a mandate. So I don't think I'd be able to leave without doing this, and I want to do that this morning. Sister Stephanie asked me to sing a little, I guess it's a little medley, amen, and I trust that it'll be a blessing to your heart, amen. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, your grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He will give his angels charge over me. Jehovah Jireh careth for me, Jehovah Jireh careth for me. I want to sing that again. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, your grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, your grace is sufficient for me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory, and he will give his angels charge Jehovah Jireh careth for me. Jehovah Jireh careth for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, your grace is sufficient for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, your grace is sufficient for me. Well, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Oh, he shall give his
for Jehovah Jireh careth for me, Jehovah Jireh careth for me. Whoa, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, your grace is sufficient for me, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, your grace is sufficient for me. Oh, my God shall supply. I believe it according to his riches and glory, and he will give his angels. Oh, Jehovah Jireh, he cares for me. Jehovah Jireh cares for my God shall supply. My God shall supply all my needs. Hey, according to. Oh, and he will give his angels. Oh, I know Jehovah Jireh careth for me, for me, for me, Jehovah Jireh. Oh, now when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will dance like David danced. Hallelujah, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, oh, I will dance like David danced. I will dance, oh, I will dance, yes, I will dance like David. Like David praised. Hallelujah, when the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, I will praise like David praised. I will praise. Oh, I will praise. Yes, I will praise.
We give the Lord some praise in this place. Hallelujah. We worship you, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, as we sing that song, I think of David
and how the ark, the covenant, was coming back into its place. The Bible tells us that David began to dance and began to shout and began to worship and praise you in a way that people had never seen before. The rejoicing that was in his heart because he saw the word in its proper place. God, how our hearts ought to rejoice today, this morning, because we see the word of God is in its proper place. It brings us, Lord, it brings us to a place where we just want to worship. We want to thank you. He danced in such a way that he danced right out of his clothes. And God, his wife was embarrassed at seeing the way that he danced. But God, our prophet, told us that when she looked upon him, he said, "You haven't seen anything yet." My, I wish that we all could feel that way sometime, that you haven't seen anything yet. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Father, we just appreciate you. We appreciate your presence. We appreciate your spirit that is in this place. And we know, God, that you have already shown that you're in control of the service. We pray that you take, amen, even more control of the thought that will be presented here this morning. We ask that you get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Hide us all behind the cross that we might not be seen, but may Christ be on display today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you don't mind just standing with me to read the word of the Lord, we'll read one scripture and then I'll let you take your seats. Amen. Thank God for his wonderful presence. Amen. Here this morning, I want to read just one scripture from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We certainly appreciate the pitch-in. That's what you all call it. I think back home we would call it the big eat. But we thoroughly enjoyed it, and the fellowship was even more enjoyable. And just really just appreciate the Lord and amen and what he's doing here in your midst. And I said it on Thursday night, and I'll say it again. If the Lord had it where I would have moved to this area, I know I have a church home right here at Church of the Open Door. Just appreciate your pastor and his precious wife. And I was just telling them on yesterday, just looking at what God has done for them. I know we're not supposed to have the spirit of pride, but I'm very proud to say that they're my friends. I'm very proud of what they have accomplished for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it wasn't easy, but it was certainly worth it. Amen. Amen. And so we just thank God and just appreciate them and appreciate you all. And amen. I'll leave it there. It's Pastor's Appreciation Month, so I have to tell them that I appreciate them. Amen. Ministry appreciation. Not just the pastor. Sometimes the pastor wife need to be encouraged, and other people in ministry, the deacons' wives, trustees. Come on. Everybody need to be appreciated. Even the congregation. You heard the pastor come up this morning and say, "I appreciate you all doing this." Those are kind words. Speak kind words to one another. It goes a long way. Rather than complain. That's not my sermon. It's not my sermon. But sometimes the devil will anoint us. And if we're not careful, we'll be under the wrong anointing. But if we can create atmospheres with our words. We can create a positive atmosphere or a negative atmosphere. And it all comes from the words. And, you know, and the wrong words can be contagious. The right words can also be contagious. Amen. A right word fitly spoken. You know, it does great things for a person. So I appreciate all y'all. I love you. I say God bless you. Amen. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I didn't recognize that I kept my jacket on the entire service on on a Thursday night, so I had to make sure I took it off this time. But praise the Lord. I had just something in my heart here. I was a part of Church of the Open Door when they were in the house, and just to see the journey that the Lord has brought this work, it's been a real blessing to see. When I was there, I preached a sermon in the home, bring forth fruit with patience, and man, that's exactly what has happened. As I just look out over the congregation, God has really blessed this, and trust me, this is not happening everywhere. It doesn't happen like this everywhere. So you all have something very special that God is doing here in your area. Please appreciate what the Lord is doing. Amen. It doesn't happen that often, and it doesn't happen everywhere, so please appreciate it. But I just had in my heart this morning that I want to share something that'll be, for this church, and I trust that it'll be a blessing to you. I'll give you a title in a second, but there was a, my wife and I had the opportunity to go a couple years ago to a homeschool convention. We were homeschooling our daughters, and when we went to this homeschool convention there in Orlando, Florida, there was a gentleman that was speaking about history. And, I'm one that actually loves history, because I believe if we don't learn from history, then history has a strange way of repeating itself. Praise the Lord. So sometimes it's very good to look at history. And when I say that, I'm not necessarily talking about American history, but church history. Right. If we look at church history, when Luther came out and protested the Catholic Church, I mean, it just blesses my heart every time I think about him going to the Catholic Church door with his 95 theses. I don't think Luther came up with that overnight. I think it took some time for him to develop these thoughts, and maybe Luther thought that I would just kind of keep this to myself. I won't let anybody know. If they happen to come to my house for some fellowship, then maybe I'll share a little bit with them, but Luther got to the point, he said, I can't keep this to myself any longer. Amen. And he said, what I'm going to do is take my 95 thesis. And he went down on October 31st, and he had it in his hand, and he also had a hammer in his hand, and he walked up to the church door. And when he got there, he took out his nail and he took out his paper, and he just wham, wham, wham. Now, why would he put it on the church door? Because everybody that would have went through those doors would have saw what was in his heart. Hallelujah, church. So I feel like sometimes we get to a point where, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves like the Lutherans. Because what did they do? They came out after these great events from Martin Luther, but they went right back into the denominational system. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, somebody. If we study church history, that was the problem. Amen. Throughout the ages. So we can't have that same problem in this age. We have to learn from history. This gentleman at the homeschool convention was just speaking there, and he was just quoting this, and he said that when he looked at American history, there was a gentleman by the name of Alex Tyler, a Scottish history professor at the University of Edinburgh, and at the time of America's birth, this man, Alex Tyler, wrote a warning to America in 1787. And this warning that he wrote to America says that he observed that the average age of the world's greatest civilizations was about 200 years. And he says, during which they inevitably progressed through a following sequence. And this is a cycle that happened in nations. And as I give this cycle in nations, then I want you to think about this cycle, because it's not only in nations, it's also in churches. It's not only in churches, but it's also in individuals. Hallelujah. He said nations usually go through this in about 200 years. He said they go from bondage to faith. They go from faith to courage. They go from courage
to liberty. They go from liberty to abundance. They go from abundance to complacency. They go from complacency to apathy, then from apathy to dependence. And the final phase, amen, in this is they go from dependence right back into bondage. I can't preach that whole series today. But I would like for you to just consider, amen, that process that nations go through, and also consider that people, individuals go through the same process, because individuals make up the nation, right? And not only does that happen to nations, not only does it happen to individuals, but eventually it will happen to churches. So this morning, amen, I want to just take a topic. Amen. I'm going to shorten it because I can't preach all of that today. But I want to just talk about from bondage to courage. From bondage to courage. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, the first thing that I'd like to just point out, amen, this morning, is that in order for a person to move from bondage to courage, they first have to admit and recognize and acknowledge that they are in a place of bondage. Because, see, if you can't admit that you're in a place of bondage, then you'll never do anything to try to get free. Hallelujah. Amen. You have to realize that the place that you're at is not the place that God wants you to be. God has so much better for us. God does not want us to dwell in a place of bondage. That's the devil trying to put us in that condition. But God wants us to experience his freedom. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is supposed to be liberty, not bondage. The second thing that I want you to realize is that, amen, God does not like seeing you in a state of bondage. The Bible says in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. When I think about that scripture, you know, preach the gospel to the poor, that doesn't necessarily mean people that don't have money in the bank. But sometimes what happens, the gospel has to be preached to those that are poor in spirit. To heal the brokenhearted, because sometimes things happen to people where they actually get disillusioned with church. They end up brokenhearted. But the gospel comes to bring healing. The doctor can't bring that type of healing, but the gospel can bring healing to the brokenhearted. God has to have a place where the gospel is preached because it brings healing to the brokenhearted. The gospel comes to preach deliverance to those that are captive. God doesn't want you to be captive. That's why he sends the gospel to bring you to a place of release. And I love this. When you really think about it, Jesus said the recovering of sight to the blind. Think about those words. The recovering of sight to the blind. If somebody's sight is being recovered, it meant that at some point in time they could see. But they lost their ability to see, so the gospel comes to bring recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those that are bruised. Because Brother Branham even told us that a bruise is what can cause cancer. But God, and see, sometimes cancer, it doesn't have to be something physical, but it can be something spiritual. Right? And that cancer happens from the inside and works its way to the outside. But what God wants to do is set people free from the inside. Because they're bruised on the inside. But the gospel comes to set you free. See, first we have to acknowledge that we're in this condition. And when we realize that we're in that condition, then we begin to do things that will get us free from that condition. Now, I want you to just stay with me. We're moving this morning from bondage to courage. Courage has a way of being contagious, right? Courage has a way, you know, of, just really helping a number of people. And I thought of this, you know, when David, stood there and he saw Goliath, and he began to say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's doing this to God's people, you know, the nation of Israel? He said, you know, if nobody else would fight him, I'll be glad to go out and fight this. I cannot allow this man to keep talking about Israel like that. Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 17 that after David, you know, went out and overcame Goliath. If you go back and read the story in 1 Samuel 17, before David came on the scene, the nation of Israel was running from Goliath. They'd be out battling the Philistines, but when Goliath would show up, they would turn and run in fear.
Yes, right.
Stay with me here today.
Yes, sir.
But when David came, he began to talk a little different than the rest of them were talking. He began to act a little different than the rest of them were acting. He said, I believe I can take this guy on. God help me deliver a lion. Amen. Deliver my lamb from a lion. He delivered a lamb from a bear. I can take this guy out.
Right.
He had a different attitude,
right,
a different approach.
Yes.
It was so contagious that even Saul said, you know what? I like your approach.
Yes.
Now I'm going to try to help you out and give you some of my armor.
Right.
But David said, no, I can't use this. I can only use what I've proven.
Yes.
And I'm going to take 5 rocks and my sling, and I'm going out here to take this guy out.
Right.
If you go back and read in 1 Samuel 17, you'll see after Goliath went down,
yes,
the Bible tells us in verse 53 that the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. Now remember, before David did that, they were running from the Philistines. But after David overcame Goliath, they were now chasing Philistines.
Right.
And see, when we move from bondage to courage, we're no longer running from the devil. We are starting to chase devils.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I don't want to run from the devil. I want the devil running from me. Oh, here he come again to the hospital. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe the devil ran from the prophet every time he saw. He's going to run from the bride too. Amen. 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 See, courage is contagious. Courage is contagious. Now, I want you to just kind of follow me on this little thought here out of this great servant Moses. So God wants to get rid of the fear because he didn't give us the spirit of fear.
Right.
He didn't give us that. That's from the devil. God did not give us the spirit of fear. But here in this great servant Moses, the prophet says this, look yonder. There it is. As far as God is concerned, it's finished.
Amen.
The price is paid. You're free. He said, that's what the trouble with people tonight. They don't know they're free. He says, here not long ago, an old farmer had a cornfield. The crows kept coming by, eating up his corn. So he set a trap and caught one. He said, I'll fix the rest of them. He tied that one by its foot into the fence, and that poor old crow hobbled and jumped and hobbled and jumped, and he couldn't get away because he was tied up. He was starving, eating everything around where he could reach. He was starving to death. He got so he just couldn't hardly fly or jump up and down anymore. All the crows would come by and holler, come on, Johnny Crow, let's go south. It's turning winter. You'll die sitting there. Let's go, Johnny Crow. He said, I can't. I'm tired. He says, one day a good man came by. Hallelujah. Said that poor old crow, look at him hobbling around there. He's getting weak. So he caught the old fellow, petted him a little bit, took the latch off his foot like that, turned him loose and said, all right, old boy, go on. He walked away, and the old crow just kept walking around in the same circle, same circle. See, he was untied and didn't know it. He said, the other crows, I try not to be too obvious, but when I'm reading this quote, I'm not just talking about crows. I'm talking about people. Right? Because this is the mentality of people. Sometimes we have what we call crow mentality. Hallelujah. Right? So I want you to get in your mind, because you know some Johnny Crows. And at some time you were a Johnny Crow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But what we need to know is that God has set us free. We don't have to be bound anymore.
We can experience God's best and we can walk in that. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Listen, he says they were walking around the same circle. He said he was untied and didn't know it. The other crows came by and said, come on, Johnny Crow, let's go south. It's coming winter. He said, I can't. I'm still tied. And, you know, when I think about that, when you got other crows yelling, come on. You don't have to stay in the condition that you're in. Come on. Amen. Don't be like Johnny Crow and stay in. And it wasn't that he was tied by his foot anymore.
Right.
That wasn't the bondage. It wasn't a physical bondage anymore.
Come on, brother.
Huh? It wasn't physical. But the reason Johnny Crow could not go south, I mean, there was nothing connected to him. But the reason he couldn't go south, oh my God. The reason he couldn't go free is because in his mind, he was still tied down. He had been tied down so long that in his mind he could not go free. But this morning I pray that the Holy Spirit will set people free in their mind. Let me tell you, when you're free in your mind, you're going to act like you're free. You're going to talk like you're free. You're going to worship like you're free. Things change when you get free in your mind. See, you can come to church, you can hear the preacher preach. But in your mind, if you go right back to that crow mentality, then you'll find yourself in this cycle. And you come from bondage, and you end up right back in bondage. We're trying to avoid that cycle.
Yeah,
all right. See, where I'm trying to live at on the cycle is in the place of abundance.
Yes.
I want to get stuck there.
Yes. All
right. I want to go from liberty to abundance and just stay right there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Johnny Crow couldn't go south because he was tied down his mind. The prophet goes on to say that's the way it is with men and women tonight who don't know their position in Christ Jesus. The devil may have tied you with TB. You may have you tied with a cancer. He may have you tied to many things, but Christ, the good man, has stood your judgment now and has set you free tonight. God bless your heart. You can rise in the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's not go south, but let's go towards glory, marching as the great army of the living God. We're free. Can't you hear the other saying, come on? I like that. Yeah. The prophet said, can't you hear the other saying? Come on. I once was bound by a chain of sin, but tonight I've been cut loose by Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here, you know, bondage. Amen. We're moving from bondage to courage. And one of the big things, in order to move from bondage to courage, you have to overcome fear. You have to overcome fear. I want to pick up a scripture here in Exodus chapter 4, if you will turn over with me. You have to overcome fear if you're going to move from bondage to courage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Exodus chapter 4. Now, just to set this scripture up just a little bit, we find there in the book of Exodus, first of all, we find God wanted to send a deliverer to the people. They were in a state of bondage, and God had to raise up somebody to get them out of that condition.
That's right,
oh, man. I pray y'all can read between the lines this morning. I say things, but I can't be too direct. I have to say them indirect, But you know what? Let me just put it this way: when we're looking at scripture, we're looking at even some of the quotes from Brother Branham. Try to apply them to your life right now.
Amen.
Yes.
Because you know many of us were like the children of Israel,
right?
We were in a place of bondage.
Yes.
But God actually came and He brought a deliverer.
Yes. Come on.
God brought the deliverer.
Yes.
Right? They knew that they needed something more.
Yes.
God brought something more. But let me just warn you that even when you get something more, you got to watch that cycle.
Yes.
Because you can get free, but then go right back into bondage if you're not careful.
Right.
Ooh. Hallelujah. Maybe it'll be a good dinner time conversation. But here we have Israel, amen, in a place of bondage, and they don't like this condition. They're in this condition for well over 400 years, and they just don't like this. They begin to pray and seek God and ask God for freedom. Well, God says, I heard your prayer, and I'm going to send you a deliverer. And he raises up Moses right in their midst. And I love the way that he did it. You know, Brother Branham taught us about how Moses' mother and father were praying and how they built that ark and everything. And when they were coming to kind of kill all the little kids 2 years old and under, they put Moses in the ark and committed him to the Nile River. Yeah. Right. And there when he ended up in the Nile River and God just commanded that no crocodile could touch that little baby, that no snake could touch that little baby. Nothing could happen to that little baby. God was protecting Moses. God has been protecting you.
Amen.
Oh, glory. He's been watching over you. Right. And here, you know, I just love it because as the mother committed them to the Nile River, maybe the little sister's just watching from a distance and she see Moses get on down right into Pharaoh's house.
Yes.
And when Moses arrives at Pharaoh's house here, they get Moses out the ark and they say, Ma, we need somebody to take care of this baby.
Right.
So the little sister runs up, say, you need a wet nurse. I know somebody. I'll go get him and bring him right back. I got somebody for you.
Yes.
And she runs home and she tells Mama the testimony. Say, Mama, not only did Moses make it into Pharaoh's house, but they need a wet nurse, Mama. Yes. You, guess what, Mama? They need you to come raise your baby in Pharaoh's house. And Mama, not only are you going to have an opportunity to raise your baby, God's going to do the exceeding, the abundant above all you can ask or think. They're going to pay you to raise your own baby. You're talking about my God.
Yes.
She gets there and she raises up baby and she begins to teach Moses about all the things that God did and about the people that he was from. And you know, and he tried to be a deliverer on his own with his own intellectual knowledge.
Right.
And all Moses could do was kill one Egyptian with his intellectual knowledge. But that wasn't enough. And see, let me tell you something. We need more than intellectual knowledge to keep us in this hour. One of the themes that we've been talking about this weekend is you got to have an experience with God. You have your own individual experience rather than intellectual knowledge. It will do something. It'll keep you. It'll stabilize you. It'll strengthen you. It'll bring you back when you walk away. Your experience, when it's just between you and God. Nobody else could do that. When you have one of those, I tell you what, it's a difference in your walk with Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here, Moses' mother's raising him up there in the house of Pharaoh. And finally, Moses kills this Egyptian and he has to run for his life. But let's pick up something here because God dealt with Moses on the backside of the desert after 40 years. Amen. And he's getting ready to bring deliverance to the children of Israel, and he's going to use Moses as his deliverer. Can I just say this? We can't pick and choose who God's going to use as his deliverer.
Yes.
We don't tell God who to use. See, I have a big problem with those that have a problem with the prophet. You can't choose who God's going to use. If he chose William Branham, that's God's choice.
Amen.
It's not your choice. That's God's choice.
Amen.
And all you have to do is just follow what God did.
Yes. That's right.
Make it real easy on yourself.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's
Amen.
Glory. Let me just keep going. There's a lot that I could say there. But here in Exodus 4, I want this. Fear is the thing that stops us from moving from bondage to courage.
That's right.
But once God can get rid of the fear, then he can do great wonders. Now watch this. Verse 1 says, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. Okay, let's look at that. Because what I see here is Moses having this conversation with God. He said, what's that in your hand? A rod. And he throws it down on the ground. And when it becomes a snake, Moses. What caused Moses to do that? Fear. Fear caused Moses to do that. Now, what I get here from this, just from that little passage, what I get is Moses is afraid of snakes. Guess what? I am too. So what I'm trying to say, there's a little bit of Moses in me.
All right.
If God would have told me, see, I'm putting myself on the scene now. If God would have told me to throw down the rod and it would become a snake, God's going to have a problem with me now. Because I'm going to run just like Moses did. But look at the scripture. Look at the scripture. Verse 4 says this. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Wait a minute. God just saw Moses run from that snake. But now, in order to get rid of the fear, he says, now put your hand on the snake. Grab him by the tail. And let's see what happens. God's not telling what's going to happen. You just watch and see what happens. I can just imagine. This is my imagination. I don't have a quote. It's my imagination. But I can see Moses standing there for days, wondering how he going to put his hand on that snake.
All right.
I'm talking about myself. You want, Lord, you put my hand. You saw me run from the snake. And now, and I can see the snake not moving. And I can see Moses maybe get next to him and he jump at him. God said, Moses, I want you to grab him by the tail. Guess what? I'm not sending anybody here to help you. You have to do this on your own.
Amen.
You have to do this on your own. If you're going to move from bondage to courage, you have to do it on your own.
Preach, brother. Amen.
Come on, it's not a group decision. It's an individual decision. Because I realize I'm in bondage and I don't like the condition that I'm in. So I got to see it change. Moses, reach down and grab that snake by the tail. Don't grab it by the head, by the tail. Let's read. The Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they might believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. Now God had to do that for Moses for a reason. Because when he grabbed it by the tail and saw it become a rod, God knew that Moses was going to go down to Egypt.
Yes.
And when he threw down that rod before Pharaoh, because he just thought he had a message of deliverance.
Amen.
Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh says, okay, Moses, I've seen that before. I got two magicians over here who can do the exact same thing you do. Come here, Janice and Jambres. They throw theirs down, there becomes a snake. Moses looked at it and said, oh, my. But rather than get fearful, Moses just stood there and just watched his snake grab one snake and just swallow it. Then he went to the other snake, just opened his mouth and swallowed it. And then Moses did the same thing God told him again. Now reach there and grab it by the tail. Grab it by the tail, it became a stick. Now Moses said, now Pharaoh, where are your snakes?
All right.
They're inside my stick.
Yes.
And if you put some more down there, guess what's going to happen? I want you to see something here. Because this is what God was doing for Moses.
Glory.
God was teaching Moses that he had the power to bind and loose.
Yes. Right.
See, Jesus said that I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So when God told him, put the snake down, loose it. But then pick it back up, bind it up again.
All right.
He had the power to bind and loose, not only with the snake. Hallelujah. Not only with the snake, but in Exodus 8:6, he loosed frogs. The magicians copied it, but in verse 9, Moses, not the magicians, Moses took them away. In Exodus 8:21, Moses called for flies, the third plague. But in Exodus 8:30, Moses entreated the Lord and the flies were taken away. He had the power to bind and loose in the seventh plague of hell when it was loosed in Exodus 9:18. And it was bound in Exodus 9:29 when Moses spread his hand before God and the hell ceased, which meant it was bound. The eighth plague of locusts was loosed by Moses in Exodus 10:13. But bound in Exodus 10:19, the locusts came in by an east wind and went out by a west wind. Moses had the power to bind and to loose.
Amen.
Before he realized he had that power to bind and loose, God had to get rid of the fear.
Amen.
You go on, there's even another. I look at this in verse 6. And the Lord said unto, said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand in thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. Then
yes.
When he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. I'm again reading between the lines because I'm imagining myself doing that and pulling my hand out and seeing that. Now, in my mind, I'm talking about me. I got a strange imagination. And by my mind, I want to know what's in there that would cause my hand to do that.
All right.
That's in my mind. But then God would say, Moses, put your hand back in there. Wait. I just did it the first time and it came out white like leprosy. I don't know what's in there. Why would you have me do that again? This was to get rid of the fear.
Amen. All right. Yes.
Oh, if God could just help us all to get rid of the fear, what a mighty Amen. Church we would be. Let's go on and read. Let's finish it. Verse 7, he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And we know that was a direct, amen, type to what happened in Brother Branham's ministry. And believing, amen, how God was using him and, you know, the signs that he gave him. And, you know, one was to just put his hand on us, just hold their hand. And then it would just kind of tell what their condition was. And then God elevated him and took him to the next level. And then he could just discern the thoughts. He can discern what was in their heart.
That's right.
I don't know about you, but that would have been enough for me to believe the sign.
Amen.
But God went further than that.
Yes.
He actually gave him the opening of the word.
Yes.
And that should have settled it. But we still have people that still don't believe the sign. God help us. Let me go on. This is out of the message, show us the Father. Oh, my. Glory to God. Actually, before I read that, the position of a believer in Christ. Brother Branham says this. I've seen people come to the platform. I say, do you believe? Oh, I got all faith, Brother Branham. Now, I don't mean to be belittling them. I respect that. But they're supposed to be up here, and here they are way down here. But do you know what it is? It's hope instead of faith. Faith does the job right now. Hope hopes for it, but faith is the product. Right? Faith really does it. Faith. See, we have lots of hope, but not much faith. So we want to change from hope today to positive faith. And there's only one way we can get positive faith. That's by positive thinking of positive things. The only way you can get positive faith is by having positive thinking of positive things. If you want to see God bring healing to your body, you got to think about how he brought healing to somebody else. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Oh, my.
Amen.
You can't surround yourself with negative people and think you're going to get a positive result.
Right.
Glory.
You got to stay with positive people and think about positive things.
That's right.
If you want to have positive faith.
Glory.
Glory to God. The prophet goes on to say this and show us the Father, and it will satisfy us. He says, God can't use anything that's afraid. He says, you know, Gideon had to send them all back, was scared. And if you're afraid, this is what he said. If you're afraid to testify of your healing before it comes, not after it comes, but before it comes. If you can't testify about your healing before it comes, he says, God can't use you. See, you know what stops us from testifying of our healing before it comes? Fear.
Right.
And the fear is like, you know, well, what if I'm really not healed?
Right.
What if I What if I go back into those symptoms again? What if this? What, you know? And I think about even people that come out of a world of sin and they begin to serve God, and they always have this fear, maybe I might go back. They're afraid to make a commitment to God because they don't feel like they're going to go all the way this time. Have you ever thought that? What if you do go all the way?
Amen.
What if you do get an experience with God? What if, amen, this time is different? What if you just release and let God have his way?
Amen.
But what stops people is fear. Listen, God can't use you. If you can't testify of your healing before it comes, God can't use you. If you're afraid to tell the people you've received the Holy Ghost, don't worry. I doubt whether you ever get it or not. See, God wants heroes. Let me say that again. The prophet says God wants heroes. He wants something that's brave. God wants something that'll stand up and talk, that's not a scared to tell your boss or anyone else, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has saved me from a life of sin.
Amen.
That's right. Glory.
God wants heroes.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, most heroes, when you look at our nation, and George Washington would be considered a hero. But George Washington, that man was very brave. There was a battle that was occurring, and he knew he was about to lose some soldiers. And actually, during this battle, the soldiers had turned and started running from the British Army. And in the middle of the bullets flying, and the soldiers turning around, George Washington stood up and got in between with his horse, and he started encouraging his men, come back. We got to go fight. We got to overcome. And he's in the middle of bullets flying. They said they could see some of the bullets going through his vest. His jacket that he had on. They could see bullet holes going through. That was a brave man.
Yes, right.
See, he became a hero after the battle was won, but he had to have an act of courage before the battle was won.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? It's going to be the same for us. We're going to have some courage before we see the battle won. And here at Church of the Open Door, I've seen the courage. You've moved from a place of bondage to a place of courage. And I thank God for that. But be careful. Because there's other states, other places that you can go on that journey. And if you're not careful, you'll go all the way from bondage back into bondage. Here in the book of Judges, chapter 6, we can see Israel had this same process that they went through. Man, they would come out. They would get free. And it just seemed like for a certain amount of time they would stay free, and then they would go right back into bondage again. It was just a cycle over and over and over and over again in the book of Judges. I told you, you have to study history because you have to learn from it. Otherwise, history has a strange way of repeating itself. But when we look at Israel here in the book of Judges, and I'm going to chapter 6, God had to get rid of some fear in this army before he could actually do something mighty. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. If I could just say to you all, God wants to do something so great, so mighty in this area. But in order for him to really be free to do that, he had to get some people that we're going to move from bondage to a place of courage.
Come on,
I got to get out of this bondage, and I got to be courageous.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, when you just get a little courage yourself, it becomes contagious.
Amen.
Other people see it, and they want that. They want to experience that same freedom that you're experiencing.
Amen.
They want to experience that same joy that you're experiencing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me just drop in a little story here. Y'all bear with me. I'm going back to that. I was in college, and I disliked reading. Only thing I wanted to read was my Bible or spoken word book. I didn't want to read anything else.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
And in college, they said, well, this one class, I had to read this particular book. And I said, oh my, you know, all right, I really don't want to read these other authors, I'll read it. It's my class, I'll do it. Well, they gave me this book, and the title of the book was Who Moved My Cheese? And I looked at the title of the book, and I said, what in the world is this? Who Moved My Cheese?
Yeah.
I had a bad attitude. But I pulled the book out, and I began to read, and And as they began to talk about the different characters in this book, there were two mice and two human beings. And they would go to the cheese station. Oh, God. And they would just sit there and they just eat that cheese. And, you know, and for the mice, it was their source of food. But for the humans, it was their life. It was, you know, it's my house. It's my car. It's my this. It's my that. You put it, you fill in the blanks, whatever it is to you. Amen. But when they went in, you know, they said they just kept going day after day, but not realizing that as they kept eating from the cheese every day, the cheese was dwindling down. Well, the mice recognized that, you know what, the cheese station, you know, is gone, and we have to move from this cheese station to another cheese station. So the mice took off running to find another cheese station, and they got there in record time. But the humans stayed, and they got there, and they said, you know what, somebody's going to bring some more cheese, and we're going to wait right here till they bring the cheese. They went day after day, and no cheese came. But one of the humans decided, you know what, I'm going to take a step of faith, and I'm going to go out and find some more cheese. And he went out, and he started going through this maze of life, and he finally ended up, and he found the cheese. And when he got to the cheese, the mice were sitting there just enjoying themselves. And he was sitting there thinking, saying, man, I found the cheese, but my buddy that I left back, I wish that he could come and enjoy the cheese that I found. And he said, you know what? Hopefully he'll see the little notes that I left behind in the maze. And hopefully one day he'll find his way to this cheese station. I wanted to make it easy for him, so I left a little path for him to follow. And one day his buddy just come busting into the cheese station. He said, man, you made it. Said, yes, I finally made it. And thank you for the notes that you left behind so I could get here to the cheese station. Sometimes we don't realize when our cheese is moved. Fear keeps us at the cheese station. But God wants us to move from bondage to courage.
Amen.
Judges 6. The children of Israel were in bondage again. They were in the land of Midian. They had been bound for 7 years. 7 years in Midian. I don't know how long God's people have been bound, but I can tell you this much. God wants you to move this morning from your place of bondage to a place of courage. I don't care what the devil might have you bound in. Now, it doesn't matter how long. God wants you to move from a place of bondage to a place of courage. In verse 7, see, when you realize that you are in bondage, you're going to do something to get yourself out. In verse 7 here in Judges 6, it says, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. I tell you this much, when you find out, when you realize that you're in a place of bondage, you'll begin to cry out. You begin to pray. You'll begin to ask God to deliver you. Children of Israel always did that. And God always heard them. And the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drove them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. He says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abarizite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. See, fear had them doing this. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Here's a man hiding his food, and the angel calls him a mighty man of valor. Let me tell you something. It's not what you think of yourself, but it's what God thinks of you.
Amen.
And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. See, the attitude that Gideon had, that's the attitude God wanted. Because God can't use anything that's afraid.
Right.
Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Brother Branham said something. If God, in this message, if God be with us, then where's all the miracles? He said, now I want you to notice another thing that might encourage you. Immediately after that prophet's message, the Lord appeared on the scene. Amen. As soon as he gave his message, the Lord appeared under a tree. The Lord came after the message of the prophet, setting under a tree. The prophet gave, the people fell away, got off in their isms. God sent his prophet. As soon as the prophet got through with his message, the Lord followed the prophet's message for deliverance. I want to tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is here.
Amen, brother.
God sent a prophet, but then the Lord showed up.
Amen.
After the prophet left, the Lord showed up.
Amen.
If you go on and you keep reading in the book of Judges, and I'm going to just try to just summarize this if I can, but if you go on and you keep reading, Gideon still had some problems with this visitation from the angel, and he began to question God as to whether this really was the Lord. Sometimes when we're making decisions,
right,
we all kind of do like Gideon did. Yeah. We have to put a fleece before God. God doesn't like that, really,
right,
but he still speaks to us through it. And Gideon had his fleece. He said, okay, God, if this is really you, he says, I'm going to put this fleece out and say, and I want it to be wet on the fleece and dry on the ground around the fleece. If it's really you, when I wake up in the morning, that's the way it'd be. Guess what? It was exactly the way Gideon requested. But you know what? That fear was still there. And he woke up the next morning and said, I don't know if that's really God. So this time I'm going to ask for the fleece to be dry and then the ground to be wet. Guess what? God did exactly what Gideon asked. Let me ask, I'm going to just tell you, I don't know how many fleeces we got to put before God before we actually just get up and do what God asks us to do. How many you need? 10, 13, 15? I mean, he'll do it. But all we're doing is wasting time. What God needs you to do is move from your bondage to a place of courage.
Come on,
brother. Well, Gideon, God told him, now I want you, we're going to get these Midianites, we're going to overcome them. He said, but now you go ahead and get your army together, and we're going to get this taken care of. So Gideon got 32,000 men. They going down to take over. God said, Gideon, let me have a conversation with you real quick. Actually, it's too many of y'all. And what I need for you to do is just make one announcement in the congregation. Just one. Just one. Say, I want you to go out there and say, if there's anybody that has fear and you're afraid, you can go back. Guess what? 22,000 men. And a 32,000 man army. 22,000 said that they were afraid. See, I'm going to tell you something. Fear is contagious, but faith is also contagious.
All right.
We don't need the ones that's going to be fearful. Let them go on back. Let them go on back. Because we get out here in battle and they get afraid out here in battle. Who knows what they're going to do? But let them just go right on back. Oh, I praise the Lord. They had 10,000 left. And then God says, Gideon, actually with 10,000, you still have too many. So I need you to do another thing. I want them to come to the water. And I want them to drink. And you're going to watch the way that they drink. And when they get down here and they begin to drink, then we're going to know. Say, I want you to put the ones that just kind of fall prostrate on the water and drink. Put them to one side. And then the other ones that drink a little differently, you put them to the other side. So the ones that was falling prostrate because they've been serving idol gods, God didn't want them. Here's 9,700 of them that's doing that. But the other ones that were, they when they got down, they did it like this. Let me do it in front of the pastor because he can correct me later. They did it like this. And the reason they did it that way is because they had their eyes on the enemy while they were still drinking the water. He said, put them on the other, to the other side. 300. It says, now, and maybe Gideon said, okay, them 300 getting ready to go. Nope. Because God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And his ways are not our ways. So God said, no, the 300 is what I want. Send the 9,700 on. 300, Lord? In order to get that fear out of Gideon. Because he's probably sitting like, now, wait a minute. You call me a mighty man of valor, but you're not giving me a nice army to go with. Says Gideon, you afraid? I want you to go down to the enemy's camp now. You're going to hear something when you get down there. And Gideon snuck down to the enemy's camp. And when he got down into the enemy's camp, there was a man sharing a dream that he had. And when he starts sharing a dream, you know, the guy immediately interpreted the dream. He said, oh, that's nothing but the sword of Gideon. Soon as he got down and heard the enemy's camp talking about a dream that they had, and the man saying that's nothing but the sword of Gideon, he knew that the enemy was more afraid of him than he was of the enemy.
Amen.
And God wants you to know that your enemy is more afraid of you
Amen.
Than you are of your enemy. Man, they took those 300 men and they routed that army. And they brought deliverance from the children of Israel, where they were no longer bound by the Midianites. They were now free. God wanted them to experience that freedom. And let me tell you something. God wanted you to experience freedom. And he's provided you a place where you can worship him in freedom. But you had to move.
Amen.
You individually had to move from bondage to courage.
Come on, Lord. Amen.
God bless you. Let's pray.
Amen.
Father, this is something, Lord, I believe all of us could get something from this morning if we just really just meditate on the words that you're speaking to our hearts. The enemy would love for us to live in a place of bondage. He would love for us to stay there. But God, I pray this morning that you would anoint the faith of your people to rise up from whatever it is that might have them in bondage, Lord, and rise up from that and come out and realize that you are here to set every captive free. No matter how long we've been bound. And God, as we read about Johnny Crow, sometimes it's not physical bondage, it's mental. God, today you want to set people free, even in their minds. Oh God, do the work that only you can do, Jesus. Your word has been spoken, and you knew exactly why you wanted this spoken here this morning. And God, just trying to be obedient to you. I pray, God, that you would make the difference in hearts, and you would make the difference in lives. Don't let it just be a message that we hear. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other, but let it register in the depths of our soul. Let the word make the difference. God, we commit it to you. Thank you for liberty. Thank you for freedom. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And we know that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Nothing against us if we'll just walk in it. I believe the prophet told us that a pardon is not a pardon until it's accepted. So Lord, let us accept the pardon that you give us today. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray. Before your pastor comes, I just want to sing a song. And I pray that this song would just minister to hearts here this morning. It happened so long ago. I cried out for mercy back then. I pled the blood of Jesus. I begged him to forgive my sin, but I still can't forget it. It just won't go away. So I wept again
wash my sin, and this is all he'd say. What sin? What sin that's as far away as the east is from the west? What sin? Tell me what sin. It was gone the very minute you confessed. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness. The heaviest thing you'll carry is a load of guilt and shame. You were never meant to bear it, so let it go in my Jesus' name. Our God is slow to anger. He's quick to forgive our sins. So let him place it under the blood. Don't you pick it up again. And he'll say, what sin? What sin that's as far away as the east is from the west? My child, what sin? Tell me what sin. It was gone the very minute you confess. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Oh Lord, please deliver me from my accusing memory. Nothing makes me weak this way, but then I hear you say, what sin? What sin that's as far away as the east is from the west? My child, what sin? Tell me what sin. Was gone the very minute you confess. Buried in the sea of forgetfulness.
Thankful for that this morning. Amen. Amen. He doesn't even remember it anymore. Brother Jack was talking about from bondage and into freedom, and I was reading some history a while back and some of the terrible things some of our ancestors did, and when they brought the slaves over from Africa, their own brothers selling them to the Europeans and different ones, they found that the more people they could pack on a ship, the more money they could make. And so many of the slave ships were about 3 feet between the decks. So if a man had very wide shoulders, he couldn't even turn over. They just laid him in there like that. And by the time they got over here, they didn't have to force him into slavery. They already had a mentality of that. And about 6 hours into that, I would have been wanting to take a revolver and blow my brains out. I'm not very claustrophobic, but I couldn't have handled that, Brother Hoover. And many times the enemy, he'll try to do that. And you'll try to get up, and maybe you've got something in your life that you're in bondage to. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe whatever it would be. And you try to get enough faith, but he's holding you back. You can't raise up. You can't move. You can't do this. And we get this mentality that, well, I'll never make it. I'll never be able to go on. I'll never be able to overcome this. But I want to tell you something this morning. God is still a chain breaker. He's still a deliverer. Brother Bram made the statement, he said, God made man, but man made slaves. And That's not just a physical thing. Some people have emotional chains. Some people have spiritual chains. Some people have physical chains. Whatever it is that's binding you down this morning. I had this song on my heart. I didn't know what Brother Jack was going to preach on, but I had this song and just want to sing it this morning. You helped me sing it. And there were some brothers of ours that they were in chains one time in a prison because they were serving Jesus Christ, because they had done something good, because they delivered a woman that was possessed of a spirit of divination, and they wound up putting them in jail over it because it lost some men a little bit of their income. And they were sitting down there, and they could have been discouraged and depressed and just gave up and said, why are we even following a God that would allow us to get in this condition? But St. Paul realized all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And there was a little Philippian jailer down there that had to be, the gospel had to be preached to him. He said, I don't know, Silas, why we're in this condition, but we're just going to praise the Lord anyhow. Maybe you're in a condition this morning. Maybe you don't feel like praising the Lord. You think, my, everything's going wrong. Everything's taking place. All these circumstances in my life. But we can still praise him in the storm. We can still praise him in the trial. God had something better for him, but they just had to, they had to worship him even through that time. And let's just sing about it this morning. Same key, Sister Stephanie. In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas pray that night. Oh, but in their chains, they still began to sing. Oh, then their chains were loose. God set them free. I believe he still can this morning. Oh, I bless your name. Lord, I want to bless your name. Oh, I give you honor. Lord, I give you praise. Yes, Lord. Broken your chains this morning. Let's just bless his name for it. Oh Lord, I bless your name. Father God, we come this morning just to bless your name. Lord, we give you honor. Oh, we your name. Lord, I give
You're my truth, you're my way. Oh Lord, I bless your name. Lord, I bless your name. Oh, some midnight hour, maybe you will find that you're in a prison. Maybe in your mind, but by the grace of God, reach out and praise. You can defy every chain. Oh, I know they will fall in my Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, I bless your name. Oh, I believe he's freeing people of chains, of doubt and unbelief. He's here this morning. What do you need freedom from? He's here. Lord, we give you all the honor and all the praise. You are my life. Yes, Lord. You're my truth, my way. Don't let Satan lie to you any longer. You're free, Johnny Crow. You don't have to be bound anymore. Chains are falling. Lord, come and break every chain.
right that's rising up. Oh Lord, your bride, she's rising up. Oh, there's a bride that's rising up. Lord, come and break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Lord, come and break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. I know there's power. Lord, I know there's power, and it's in the name of Jesus. Oh, there is power. Lord, come and break every chain. Come and break every chain. Break every chain. As they play that, let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we truly believe with all our heart that there's power in your name, that there's no other name under heaven by which men should be saved, Father. But Lord, we call upon your name this morning. We just ask, Father, for any needs that's represented here this morning. Maybe some of them physical, maybe some of them financial, some of them spiritual, emotional, whatever it would be, Father. Maybe there's family problems. Maybe there's problems on the job or problems in the school. Lord, I don't know all the details and I don't know all the circumstances, but I serve a God that knows all about it, Lord. May you speak to individuals this morning. May you let them recognize that you're trying to break their chains of doubt or unbelief or sickness or however, whatever manner, Father, that they would be bound down in, Father. May you come, Lord, and just break the shackles of unbelief. May you break shackles of depression and discouragement and sickness and bodies. Lord, may you grant just a complete freedom and victory among your bride this morning. Give us the faith to accept it in your name, Father. Lord, we believe you this morning. We thank you. We praise you. We worship you for all that you're doing. I can feel my chains, they're falling. Oh, I can feel all my chains, they're falling. Oh, I can feel my chains, they're falling. Lord, come and break it. Break every chain, Lord, come and break every chain. Yes, Lord. Oh, he has done great things. I know he has done.